to what is the effectiveness of HR. What value are they adding to the organization? They do a whole bunch of backroom administrative work, and then they do a lot of nebulous stuff, which is soft skills stuff. There is no dollars and cents rigor to HR work.
The example that comes to my mind is Steve Carell in The Office. He runs his organization, his office like a family, and except for one guy. The one guy he hates is the guy that's in HR, because his view of HR is that they hold back progress, that they hold back operational excellence.
Here's a sample of some HR metrics. Revenue over employee. It looks at the company's sales in relation to the number of employees they have. Span of control describes the number of subordinates that report to each manager. HR staffing, calculate the number of HR professionals on staff for every 100 workers that the organization employs. HRIS systems providers, software platform providers, are also adding to it an HR analytics platform, okay? And this is becoming very fast, becoming one of the critical elements in a professional digitally aged HR function. It gives you the data to see how effective you are in people leadership.
So instead of dumping the people, it says find out where you can concentrate on, where you can improve the ever increasing value of the asset of the worker, right? The HR analytics are not, the end game is not to get rid of people and increase automation. It's to increase the value of the people.
It reminds me of the old saying, trust but verify.
Yeah.
So we want to trust our remote staff to do the right things, but then later after the fact, we can verify, did this project happen the way we expected it to happen?
Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 19 of the New World of Work podcast. Today we'll be talking about people analytics and measurements based on chapter 15 of our book. We appreciate those of you that continue to watch our YouTube podcast, listen on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and like, subscribe, share, comment. We love to see that. We'd also like you to take a look at our website, www.newworldpeoplespecialists.com. There you can connect with us all individually. We are available for coaching and consulting and speaking engagements. So we'd love to hear from you there as well. And from that website as well, you'll be able to get a copy of the book fairly soon. So excited to have you guys back here again. We do have with us, as always, Dr. Robert Ramirez and the author of this chapter, Dr. Bob Biswas. Dr. Bob, you have quite an extensive background in HR and analytics. This is a topic you teach quite a bit. Kind of set the stage for us here today.
Luckily, for the audience, I am going to teach this subject today in my class and tomorrow also in my other HR class. HR analytics is a hot topic in HR, and I'll tell you why. HR has been an overhead function from a long time ago, and a senior executive leaderships in companies have often opined as to what is the effectiveness of HR. What value are they adding to the organization? They do a whole bunch of backroom administrative work, and then they do a lot of nebulous stuff, which is soft skills stuff, training and development, organizational development, and all this stuff, soft skills, There is no dollars and cents rigor to HR work. So the senior executive leadership, at least for the last 20 years or so, has started challenging HR. Show us why we should have you still employed. What is our return on investment for the company for all the stuff you do? Okay. And this created the birth of HR analytics. Many years ago, a person I knew, 20 years ago, or maybe more, since the early 80s, was a gentleman called Dr. Jack Fitzsense. Dr. Jack was the vice president of HR in a Silicon Valley company, and then later on became the father of HR analytics, in that he started an organization called Saratoga Institute. He lived in Saratoga, California, and he said, and the Saratoga Institute's main objective was to develop, analyze HR metrics, okay, HR ratios. And he created a benchmark database on HR ratios, database of ratios, HR ratios. He collected from various companies and created a database where other HR departments could stack their results up against benchmarks in the industry, etc. Saratoga Institute. And then Dr. Jack started evangelizing the HR community about their need for them to pay attention to HR data, HR metrics, HR analytics. Later on, Dr. Jack Fitzsense, he became one on the board of an HR consulting firm that I started with three other people in 1983. He was on the board of that company. Later on, he sold Saratoga Institute to PricewaterhouseCoopers, the big accounting firm. And PricewaterhouseCoopers is now the leading provider of benchmark HR analytics to the industries around the whole world, companies around the whole world. The idea is measuring HR effectiveness, okay? What is the ROI for HR? And the whole host of ratios and metrics that can be used to analyze the effectiveness of HR departments. The focus of HR, so till this movement started, was efficiency, increase the workforce efficiency. Jack changed the paradigm to HR effectiveness, okay? HR professional effectiveness. HR efforts are now being measured using various metrics, okay? For example, you spend millions of dollars in training dollars, okay? How is that stacking up against the revenue of the company? Is that moving up? If it's moving up, then what is the outcomes we have received from training, okay? Has the skill levels increased in the company? That can all be measured. You all, both of you know something which is near and dear to you, which is HR engagement of employees. Companies do these surveys and collect data on how we engage the people in Southern California, professors in Southern California are, etc., what their concerns are, their numbers being generated. Because if you just fill in your engagement survey, they ask you to fill in using a number scale, numeric scale, what they call a semantic differential scale. That produces a lot of numeric data. Now you analyze it, use advanced statistics, regression, Markov, factor analysis, correlation analysis, and see what factors are the independent variables for engagement. Engagement being the dependent variable, what are the effective factors for engagement? And then you can develop predictive models. how to increase your company's engagement score. Okay, so these are all examples of HR analytics, and I can go on and on giving you. I can show you my PowerPoint from my class, which will give you a whole series of metrics that can be measured compared to the benchmarks provided from PricewaterhouseCoopers. Now, PricewaterhouseCoopers now owns Saratoga, and I work for PricewaterhouseCoopers. This is the group I worked in. Okay, number question two. I have to say this one more thing here for our HR audience. HR audiences, HR professionals have to realize that HR has two sides to its existence. One is the soft side, where you're increasing employee attitudes, employee morale, employee satisfaction, and you're applying organizational development, organizational theory, organizational behavior skills and knowledge. But there is also an accounting side, the hard side, accounting and finance, okay, side of HR. My first book, Bible, okay? I'll show you the title of the book. It says, no, the other one. But here's the title. Compensation and Benefits Design, Applying Finance, Accounting Principles to Global Human Resource Management Systems. So HR folks, if you want to be recognized and become strategic and be part of the executive leadership team, you have to learn how to talk the language of business, which is accounting and finance, okay? And statistics and number crunching, okay? You can't escape and just do HR work on the soft side, you know? People relations, etc. You have to also study and learn the hard side of HR, which is accounting, finance, tax implications, okay? And there are many. As a matter of fact, I would say, if you look at HR knowledge, more than 50% is the hard side. Maybe 30% is the soft side. And most HR programs and HR people are in that 30% only. And CEOs are saying, enough, enough. I don't want to be lectured by you HR people how to increase morale and motivation. I want to see numbers. We run the business with numbers, the language of business. Show me the numbers. That is HR analytics. And it has become a very important HR activity.
Hey, Dr. Bob, I wanted to ask you a question. So I know you live and have worked many times in Silicon Valley, which is amazing and known for their technology across the U.S. And with the and we also know that the skills and the skill set are the most valuable asset of any company. And as that being the most valuable asset, companies, as you say, through their dashboards and their metrics, have to evaluate, for example, employee churn, because it costs a lot of money for these companies, let's just say Meta, which is Facebook, or Google, to hire and bring in staff. And then on top of that, they have to provide additional training, and it's very costly to turn them over. Am I correct, Dr. Bob?
Absolutely correct.
So that's a really important analytical piece to follow, is that employee churn and then their capability. So what you're saying is correct, and I'm sure that upper management is looking at those numbers all the time.
They are challenging HR departments to produce those numbers and show them. And all this line senior executives, marketing executives, operations executive are come to the executive committee. They have to present in numbers and cents, dollars and cents, their performance against objectives. So the CEOs are saying HR people, HR, the chief human resource officer, needs to also provide that. Bob, I'm surprised you might have listened to my class lecture recording, because I say in my class, as I say, the top five HR analytics every HR manager should know What are the five? Number one, employee churn.
Hmm.
Number two, capability.
I got two out of the five.
Three, organizational culture. Four, capacity. And five, leadership.
What do you mean by capacity?
Capacity affects revenue. The aim of capacity analytics is to establish how operationally efficient your workforce is.
Yeah, for example, I thought so. But
in an organization that specializes in designing clothes, people are spending too much time on meeting and discussion than spending in time that is directly related to profitable work. Or are individuals too casual about their tasks? This behavioral analysis is capacity analytics that determines how much capacity they as individuals have to grow.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because you got these water cooler meetings that take place where maybe creativity happens because somebody's just going down the hallway having a conversation with somebody else. And, you know, what we've been talking about is working remotely, you don't always have that chance or that opportunity to have those cooler meetings, water cooler meetings. So, yeah, that's an
the example I used to explain. Yeah. Example I used to explain this is, say, in the class is, I say, consider hypothetically that you want to measure the impact of employee engagement on the financial performance of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like financial performance is the dependent variable. You want to see how, what is the correlation with employee engagement and financial performance? You would think it should be a high correlation, right?
Yeah.
If your correlation is lower than 40%, then you have a big problem. And you need to take corrective action, okay? It HR data analytics and metrics guides you what areas of employee engagement you should focus on, right? Using statistics and analytics.
Well, I'm as a you know, I take the stance of the owner of the company, the strategic management. These are the types of courses I have. This is my background. And one of the, from popular culture, there's how HR has been portrayed, you know, the last 30, 40 years. The example that comes to my mind is Steve Carell in The Office. He is the head of this paper company, this local branch in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and he runs his organization, his office like a family, and except for one guy. The one guy he hates is the guy that's in HR, because his view of HR is that they hold back progress, that they hold back operational excellence. When really,
there's no accountability in HR. That's what he's saying.
Right. And so when the truth is, if you evaluate Steve Carell's leadership as Michael Scott of that company, you could either say he's a complete waste of time and he's focusing on soft things that don't matter, or perhaps because he's doing the things that are the soft side, his branch is probably outperforming other branches. And so they play with that the entire way. But I could also understand what you're talking about, Dr. Bob. I'm the CEO of a company. We're pushing and pushing and pushing all this operational excellence, efficiencies. We're doing all this stuff to avoid lawsuits. And we get together in this war room to keep the company afloat. And the HR guy comes in and doesn't have any accountability. The HR person, chief, is just there to say, well, you might want to consider the feelings of your workers before you push them any harder. And so it's frustrating because every other department is pushing and pushing and pushing. And HR is saying, slow down, think it over, calm down. And so perhaps these analytics have been thrust upon the HR departments as a way to increase stockholder returns.
Right. Here's a sample of some HR metrics. Revenue over employee. It looks at the company's sales in relation to the number of employees they have. Span of control describes the number of subordinates that report to each manager. HR staffing. Calculate the number of HR professionals on staff for every 100 workers that the organization employs. Budgeted benefit burden rate. Percentage of what percentage of proportion of benefits budgeted is an obligation burden with your employees over the total benefits budget. Compensation and benefits dollars per each revenue dollar, which happens to be, the average happens to be 58 cents from the last Saratoga Institute survey. So if your total people cost, compensation and benefits, is above 58 cents, you have a big problem. You need to see why. Recruiting dollars over employees, cost per hire. Training cost over employees represents amount of money expended in training employees per employee. Employee productivity, okay? Cost of materials, labor, and overhead to sales ratios. As a percentage of revenue, time to fill vacancies, compensation impact of replacement hires. This means if Bob quits and I find somebody else to replace Bob, that replacement should be coming in at a lower salary than Bob made, okay? Because they are learning the stuff in the new organization. Average benefits per employee, pipeline utilization, helps to understand the quality of their succession program. Looks at the degree to which organization utilize internal candidates to fill position versus hiring, etc. First year service turnover rate, labor cost revenue percent. So what has happened in the technology area, HRIS systems providers, software platform providers are also adding to it an HR analytics platform, okay? And this is becoming very fast, becoming one of the critical elements in a professional digitally aged HR function. In my classes, I show the students a video from the chief people officer for Unilever Corporation, which has about, I would say, 500,000 or if not more employees around the world. She is saying that she's using advanced AI technology to do this data analytics, people, HR analytics calculations, and report on a real-time basis. One of the products of HR analytics is the HR dashboard that Bob made a reference to. Okay, so a lot of these HR software applications provide an HR dashboard where the analytics are readily available to managers, executives, and to the HR staff. Okay, and there are characteristics or features that these dashboards should have. Okay, that's a brief overview of what we've written in this chapter.
Dr. Bob, just a quick overview question for you talking about ratios. And I know in financial ratios, in accounting and finance, we compare like for like when we're looking at the ratios. As you were looking at the metrics for human resources and providing those ratios, one you provided was 58% if the staff was that expensive. Are you comparing like for like companies there, or is it just, okay, is it just
great
general
question. But Saratoga Institute, which is PwC, if I had time, I would have shown you PwC's website. They collecting data from all industries, all types of companies, small, big, medium, okay? And they can parse the data for you to get benchmarks you can compare to.
Okay.
So when you are comparing to benchmarks, you can tell PwC, Saratoga Institute, I want data from high-tech companies in Silicon Valley. High-tech companies selling recording technology located in the Silicon Valley, and you'll get a cut of that data that gives you the average revenue per employee, okay?
That's very useful.
And then you can compare yourself against those benchmarks. HR analytics gives you facilitation, facilitates calculating, comparing yourself against HR metrics benchmarks through these surveys.
Mm-hmm. So, if you participate. So another question here is kind of the big picture, kind of tied into the entire book. What we've been talking about in our book and in podcast is that people leadership is the answer to the new world of work, right? So collecting all these HR analytics may end up telling me as the CEO, get rid of people. People are problematic, they're costly, they're all these things. What role does people leadership have to do in HR analytics?
Repeat the question again. What role does
people leadership have to do with HR analytics? I mean, I could venture to guess what you're going to say, but I'll let you answer it first.
It gives you the data to see how effective you are in people leadership.
So instead of dumping the people, it says find out where you can concentrate on, where you can improve the ever-increasing value of the asset of the worker, right? The HR analytics are not, the end game is not to get rid of people and increase automation. It's to increase the value of the people. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah. Let me tell you two things, okay? One is addressing Bob. The top three functions of the HR analytics dashboard is to monitor human capital, okay? Enable reporting, regular reporting enables to keep track of the activities that are going on in the organization by tracking key workforce metrics. New trends can be anticipated, emerging problems. Second function is help HR perform better, okay? And the third one is tackle problems ahead of time. That is the three functions of the HR dashboard. But to tell you the bottom line example I have of why HR analytics is very important, and HR professionals should be highly skilled in this HR analytics area. The first job I had was in Control Data Corporation. I came out of University of Wisconsin with an MBA, and I got hired by this company called Control Data, which is the largest, which was at that time one of the largest mainframe computer companies in the world. Their customers were mainly the U.S. government, U.S. military, and big public university research, because they were supercomputers. Control Data computers sent Neil Armstrong to the moon. Now, my first job was a personnel research analyst. And my first job right out of college, because my MBA was in management science operations research. So I was very well versed in math and stat applications to business. My boss, the director of personnel research, who came from the Navy personnel research group, okay? He gave me an assignment to crunch the numbers for a possible layoff in the company. The bosses were saying we need to reduce the workforce by 24,000. So putting my HR analytics hat on, I was asked by my boss to calculate the numbers, how much savings, et cetera. That made me thinking. I put my analytical hat on. I say, there needs to be more financial rigor to this decision. Return on investment analysis. So I did an analysis on my own using net present value technique, which is used widely in finance to evaluate financial outlays and financial investments. So I projected the savings rate over a five-year period, savings in labor costs by firing 4,000 people, savings on one, cash inflow, and then cash outflow. In the outflow, I looked at a five-year horizon, okay? I found that over the years, if you look at the long term, you will see at the end of year three, there is all of a sudden increase in recruiting costs, replacement recruiting, replacement orient training, replacement benefits, etc. And I stacked up the costs that will happen in year three, four, and five. And I did a net present value analysis, and it showed the net present value was negative. That means this investment of firing 4,000 people should not happen. The data analytics showed that.
Interesting.
This enhances, this is an example of how analytic enhances people's decision. Mm-hmm. They were making the wrong decision by thinking of firing 4,000 people when they should have retained those people and saved money over a five-year period.
So what I see in the end of the chapter, you wrote, HR analytics is a data-driven method to improve people-related decisions to advance individual and organizational success. So really, it's not just keeping the HR people busy or making them be on the same page as every other department, have the same scrutiny, but it really is this positive outcome of that process.
Yeah, the positive outcome in this example, my boss, I gave my report, the analytical report that I generated, gave it to my boss, who gave it to his boss, the chief human resource officer, who showed it to the president. The president, CEO, who is this young man? Okay, this makes a lot of sense. We should not be laying off 4,000 people. Send it back to the line managers and see how they can retain these people. So the 4,000 employees went down to 400.
So a happy ending. Yeah. Robert, you were mentioning earlier, you know, the number of remote employees. I mean, we've advocated for using remote employees, using gig workers. And what I think we've struggled to answer with our book is what is the role of supervision? And I think what we're seeing in the new world of work is that supervision is becoming less and less because you can monitor outcomes and then go backwards. You could apply relationship building one-on-ones and things like that to where we don't need to be nitpicking, looking over the shoulder, micromanaging. So I think HR analytics may be another area of, instead of what we call supervision, we're doing more analytics and measurement to replace supervision because it's going to physically be harder and harder. What do you think, Robert?
It reminds me of the old saying, trust but verify.
Yeah.
So we want to trust our remote staff to do the right things, but then later after the fact we can verify, did this happen? Did this project happen the way we expected it to happen? Yeah. And if not, then how do we fix this moving forward?
And we have to balance that with tyranny of the metrics, right? We don't want to get so involved that we got these dashboards. We mentioned this before. That we have these dashboards that say push this button, fire this person, right? Instead, these analytics, these metrics should guide our people leadership activities to where maybe, even going back to talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, perhaps there's been a drop off in productivity from a certain employee or a certain department because something has impacted that. Maybe we don't see it, but maybe somebody's wife died in a team that we didn't know. Yeah. Their team productivity went down. And it's because this team was so involved with raising money to help the family recover from the mom being lost or whatever. And that's a very human side of these analytics.
I think it's the role of HR to be looking for those trends, the way Dr. Bob mentioned it, and you did, Bill, to look at the trends of what's happening with the employees. I know I'm involved in the stock market, and we look at technical analysis, right, to find the trends of what's happening with, you know, is the market going up, is it going down, sideways, and then we make changes depending on the trends. So same thing, HR through analytics can look at the trends of what's happening, and then, you know, use the levers to make some refinements. And I used to love building dashboards. I worked 25 years in IT, and we used to build dashboards. And I think that's a great thing. So that's our analytics to follow the trends. Are we, are we meeting our goals, mission statement, and
Yep. Well,
accomplishing those things?
thank you both. I think as we dove and focused on this chapter, and several, if you've been watching these episodes in a row, we've really picked out of a larger strategy these individual things that we're recommending. Our next podcast will be reviewing our final chapter, chapter 16, which is kind of putting it all together, and
Big one.
we'll be highlighting our human asset lifecycle model that says, this is how that all goes together. So we're going to step out and take a bigger picture view. Just wanted to preview for those of you continuing with the podcast as well. We're going to begin to invite guests in, see some practical examples, some personal stories from those individuals. And we're going to seek to provide a Investopedia style definition of terms as we go back through the concepts of the book. Lots of opportunities to engage with us. Of course, the book's coming out. Again, we offer seminars, virtual trainings with your employees, coaching, speaking engagements, all sorts of things. So make sure to follow us and keep track of us from our website, newworldpeoplespecialists.com. You can get all sorts of information to stay connected there and to connect with us individually. So thank you all again. Robert, anything? You seem like you want to say
Well,
something here.
thank you. I did want to add one more thing. So we're looking at questions, and we want to know what topics in HR would you like us to talk about. So we're going to be looking to your questions. What do you want to hear about that's relevant, so that we can, connect all those dots. So
Yeah,
looking forward to those questions.
thanks for the reminder. In fact, one of our followers asked us to do a podcast on employees that quit but stay. So we've addressed a lot about the great resignation, which is losing employees. But it's very true that you look across your organization, you can find people that are just showing up for a paycheck. They are not engaged at all. In fact, what's kind of sneaky is on their employee engagement survey, they're not even investing emotionally into that survey. And so what they'll do is just go, yeah, everything's great. I don't care. Everything's great. Just keep giving me my paycheck. And so it's really skewing some of that information. So ever more the need for people leadership. So thanks again to both of you, and we'll see you guys next time.
Till next time, next week. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the New World of Work podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share the podcast and to pick up a copy of our book, The New World of Work: People Leadership in the Digital Age. You can purchase it and connect with us by going to our website at www.newworldpeoplespecialist.com.